It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Well, all right, welcome back. I don't know what the hell happened just there, but I think we're on the air now. So welcome, everybody, to the show. It's Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, again, live from the Racing Boys studio here in Kansas City, Missouri. Appreciate everybody tuning in to the show. A little hiccup there at the start of the show, but it seems like we're up and running now. Got a lot to talk about today, man. A lot of races that we're going to talk about. So many different topics to talk about. We're going to talk with Lee Spencer here in just a little bit. Also, we're going to talk to the USMTS winner at the King of America. He picked up $15,000. Jake O'Neill is going to join us here in just a little bit. But I think the biggest story of the day is from last night, right? Will Smith and Chris Rock. Did you guys see that on TV last night?
I did.
My
wow.
Goodness. Let me just say this first of all, because I'm kind of one of these kind of people, to be honest with you. I'm a little bit like Will Smith, right? You talk about my wife on a national stage like that, and first of all, let's be clear. Will Smith, his wife has a disease. What is that disease, Todd?
Propatia,
or whatever it's called, right? She can't grow her hair.
Yeah, she's had it started falling out, and so she decided to shave it. And obviously, the joke was
went a little too far.
Yeah,
I think.
And this wasn't the first time he'd made a joke about her, not her hair, but in the past, he's made jokes in the past.
Yeah.
So this wasn't the first time. So, but not in front of him, obviously.
Well, and this was bad timing on his part last night as well. Now, let me just tell you something. If I'm Will Smith and somebody makes, I just said this a minute ago, if somebody makes fun of my wife, I'm not sure maybe I'd go walk up on stage and slap Chris Rock the way that Will Smith did. I think what I would probably end up doing is I'd wait till I got backstage, and then I beat the crap out of Chris Rock. I wouldn't do it in front of everybody so everybody could see it, because you know what? There's nothing good going to come out of that, right?
No.
I'm just going to tell you a little insight about old Scott Traylor here a little bit. Scott, back in his day, used to like to fight a lot, right? I've been in so many fights in my lifetime, I can't even begin to tell you how many it's been. And let me just tell you, it's not all good when you get into fights, right? And to do it on a national stage like that, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Will Smith is forever going to be scarred as the guy that went up and slapped Chris Rock on stage. For whatever he does in his career from here on in the future, he's always going to be known as the guy that went up there and slapped Chris Rock.
During his greatest moment of his life. Right. Other than when you have your kids. I mean, your greatest acting.
Did you think it was fake at first?
Well, until he started doing what he's saying right now in that video. When he dropped the F-bombs.
You knew it was
that's
real.
That's different because what happens is that's you know as well as I do. We all abide by the FCC here. Not on podcasts, but when we're on our radio show, you can't say certain words. And that's one of them. And he was letting it roll. And we didn't hear it in the States. But the people who have some friends in Wales and the people in Japan, they did hear it.
Yeah.
You know, so it could have been handled. Could you imagine maybe if his seat would have been back, if he wouldn't have been in the front row? You know, he was in the front because he was an obvious choice for the.
Now let me tell you, you give me a little insight on Will Smith's wife. She hasn't been the most dedicated wife.
No, there's
right.
been some.
She's run around on Will Smith a little bit, and it's well documented, right?
No, it's on. She talks about it. I mean, she's talked about it, and they have an open relationship.
And the guy's name is August that she ran around with,
I guess,
right?
A couple guys. But back in the day, like you said, it's not something that you would want. It's just not something that you want to be bringing out on national television, I think.
About on a national podcast?
Yeah. Like you said, I don't know what happened backstage. I'm sure there was some definite trying to mending of the waves by a few.
I don't think so.
I meant mediators, not between them two. I'm talking about mediators.
Didn't you say that you saw something that Chris Rock wrote afterwards?
He's already posted something, and
It's a backslap.
Yeah.
Right?
So if anybody wants to go in there, and I'm sure I think it's probably already been deleted. And that's how those things kind of work too. You know,
right.
They usually go up and they're gone. But yeah, that was for an events award show that has been seeing no recognition in the last 5 years, you know.
Right.
That's everybody was talking about. But in a way,
you were Chris Rock, would you slapped him back?
I would. Did you see? If you go back and watch his speech, he was going to say something, and he says, "Man, I could," and then he didn't.
Yeah.
And you know what? He was going to give it a zinc, but he dropped it, and Chris went above what was he handled it more manly than, let's just say this, he took a hit better than Will Smith took a joke.
Well, that's true,
because he took that smack like a man and never even
reached up, touched his face,
he kind of laughed at him, kind of like, you know,
that's all you got,
that's what you got. And
but
here's my thought. Will Smith is, I mean, Chris Rock's not the biggest comedian, and you know, he's not a monster sized dude.
He was at one time.
Yeah, I'm talking size-wise. He's not intimidated.
He's not a big guy.
No,
yeah.
So he wouldn't have ran up there on somebody that might have been double his size.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, he may not have been so on it. Lee's going to call us here in just 2 seconds. She was getting some stuff in the car, so I'm going to call right back here. But, yeah, that was definitely nobody was talking about it, and immediately TikTok and Twitter and everything blew up like nothing, and everybody was switching the TVs, and I even called my wife downstairs, you got to flip the TV, and she's been sick for a week, and I said, flip the TV on, you got to see this. And Amy Schumer had the best line ever after when she came back. Amy Schumer walks in after she had been doing, I guess she had had some kind of a post or some kind of a deal on there where she was dressed up in a Spider-Man suit. I don't know. She had some kind of skit. So she says, you're right. So she says, when she comes back, she says, man, the mood in the room's a little different. I was back there getting changed, and did I miss something?
Did I miss something?
And so that was and everybody laughed. So that was a much well-needed.
Loosen up.
Yes. And thank God it was someone like Amy, like you said, Amy Schumer came in and lightened everything up. So it was okay. But yeah, that speech at the end was.
He was bawling.
Yeah, everything set in on him, and he's had some serious moments that he's been dealing with.
He's had some mental issues, hadn't he?
I think their whole family, you know, has been dealing with some stuff personally and stuff, so I think, I'm sure, you know, that just goes with it and stuff. So, you know, hopefully everybody's...
Well, let me tell you, if I was Chris Rock, there's no chance in my mind that I wouldn't knuckle. You slap me, I fist you. I'm just saying it
in front of everybody. Oh,
listen, there's no way that somebody is physically going to attack me live on stage and me not retaliate against them. There's just no way. All right, let's get to the phones right now and bring in Lee Spencer. Lee, what did you think of Will Smith and Chris Rock last night?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Reed thought it was fake. He thought it was a bit. I'm like, you're not going to believe what just happened. And it just took mere seconds to get the video up on Twitter, right? And it just went viral like in no time. But this morning, boy, they had all the hot takes about it, didn't they, on the news networks. And they had the full exchange between Chris Rock and, you know, I can understand getting sensitive. I thought he was a little more in character with King Richard, though, than Will Smith. But who knows? You know, we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know what their private personas are. We see these people in public for years, but you never know about people, right, until they show their ass. And he kind of showed his ass last night.
He did. And let me tell you something. As I just said, anybody bags on my wife or my girlfriend in a public
atmosphere, it's game on.
It's game on. And listen, if I'm Chris Rock, Will Smith comes up and slaps me up on the stage, I'm jumping on him and I'm beating him right there on the stage.
Well, it could have been big, you know. It could have been like a weekend at the dirt track.
It could have been, right? Yeah, no doubt.
We've seen that happen before, haven't we? I mean, we saw A.J. Foyt and Ari Weinreich, you know. It's like,
right.
I think in a lot of places, especially in racing, I mean, bitch slapping is not uncommon.
Right, no doubt. Do you think A.J. Allmendinger wanted to bitch slap Ross Chastain yesterday? Or was it Alex Bowman that really was the big loser on that deal?
No, I mean, for whatever reason, and, you know, Alex just said that it was a bad weekend. He couldn't wait to get home to his dogs.
Yeah.
There was something going on there, and I wish somebody would have asked the question. And, you know, maybe they just sensed that they wanted to take the high road because clearly something was really, really eating at Alex Bowman. And, you know, again, we never know what's going on in people's private lives. But, you know, when, you know, the highlight of your weekend is wanting to get back to your dogs, that it has not been a good weekend.
Yeah.
And I felt for Alex. I mean, I like Alex. Alex is usually Mr. Happy-Go-Lucky and, you know, has the quick comebacks and just, you know, I really like Alex. And so, you know, the mom in me really was like, man, what's going on with him? Because he just does not seem to be. And I thought it was more than just losing the race, right? I thought there was something bigger there going on. But give him credit, right? Because all we talk about, Chase Elliott this, Chase Elliott that, Kyle Larson this, Kyle Larson that. At the end of the day, at the road course where Chase is supposed to shine, where he was the defending champion, Alex Bowman was the king of Hendrick Motorsports yesterday.
Yeah. There's a lot of debate on who – I think we talked a little bit about this on Saturday, and excuse me for repeating myself today here on Mostly Motorsports. There's a little bit of a debate on who is the top driver over there at Hendrick Motorsports right now, and you think it's who? Kyle Larson, right?
Well, yeah, the numbers point to Kyle, but I think Alex is P2. I mean, I really do. Yeah, you want to give Chase Elliott all the most popular driver awards? Fine. You think in any given day he would trade that for another championship? I mean, I can tell you absolutely he would. And you know, it's one of those deals. I think him winning most popular pretty much stems from the fact of who his father was and not that, you know, he's Mr. Nice Guy and Mr. Personality. And, you know, the same can't be said maybe, you know, early in Junior's career, but I never saw Junior turn down an autograph. Junior went out of his way to be a fan darling. And so, I mean, I don't, you know, I have no regrets with what he was able to pull off, but I just think that, you know, Chase kind of inherited to that position as, you know, kind of like the heir apparent because of who his dad was. And he hasn't really shown me anything that, you know, would have me say, no, you know, I want to be his best buddy. I want to go have a beer with Chase. I mean, other than the fact that he stepped out of his comfort zone and hangs out with Larson from time to time at the dirt track, but, you know, given their recent history, I don't see that, you know, happening anytime soon either. So, absolutely, Bowman. I mean, Reed and I were talking about this earlier. We both feel like the new car, and we've talked about that on your show before, Scott. We think the new car really benefits dirt track guys. You know, just what they're feeling in their seat. And how that equates to this new car. And quite frankly, that's not something Chase Elliott's comfortable with. So, you know, I think that that's why Kyle's, you know, risen to the top. You know, he had a rough weekend too, but, you know, Bowman does well in this car. Reddick, I mean, you know, this is like right in Reddick's wheelhouse. I mean, he has moments, but I think the difference between Reddick and Ross Chastain, where they are in their development, is simply the fact that Justin Marks has said, Ross, you're my guy. You have a 2-year contract. You have, you know, the security of knowing that you can go out and do you. You can go be what, you know, you can go in and do what makes you happy, what makes you comfortable. You don't have to worry about a contract for 2 years. You're my guy. Right. And I think when you have a management, you know, have management that tells you, you know, we're not making any changes. This is your seat. Go have at it. Go do, you know, Ross kind of things. That guy, I mean, he has one of the biggest pairs in Cup, right? I mean, yeah. He just does not back down. That's why I have such great admiration for Ross. He had 3 podium finishes going into this win. You know, he has, I think Justin Marks has really given him the confidence, the vote of confidence that he needs to go and do Ross. And I think he's doing it exceptionally well.
Yeah. Did you think yesterday that AJ Allmendinger had it coming back to him? Because to be
absolutely,
yeah, I thought he did. I can't blame Ross for doing what he did at the end of that race, trying to win his first race. AJ Allmendinger put the wood to him one time. He put the bumper to him. He had it coming back, didn't he?
He absolutely did. And, you know, if he knows what's coming. Those two were teammates at Colleague and Xfinity. And so I just, you know, I have no doubt that AJ is a really, really, really good teammate. And I'll tell you why. Because he mentors younger drivers when they're under his tutelage, you know, at racetracks and where they're working together and the like. And I think that that alone, you know, is a reason why Ross and, you know, Ross kind of gave AJ some of the credit for, you know, just doing, you know, being there and helping him do what he, you know, help him with his road course game. Mm-hmm. And so from that, you know, situation, I think that that's, you know, he's been really, he's been able to step it up. And he knew that if he got to his bumper, what was going to happen. And I think they both knew, you know, whoever throws the first punch can expect something in return. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny. You go back and when Chip Ganassi realized he was going to sell his team, to be honest with you, Ross Chastain didn't even know if he was going to have a ride, right?
Oh, no, absolutely not, until he got the call from Justin. And, you know, Justin said, hey, you know, you're my guy. And I think that that's why, you know, it's just really been a confidence builder. And Brandon McReynolds, Larry's son, who was spotting for Ross, he was on the Midday Show today on Sirius, and he basically said there are no secrets at that place. If something's going to happen, they tell you what's going to happen. You don't have to sit there and wonder. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to tell you, you know, some of the clandestine crap that goes on in race teams, and this guy knows this, and, you know, then it starts going through the grapevine. If you set a precedent and you're just straightforward and, you know, tell people what's happening and how it's going to happen and when it's going to happen and take all the guesswork out of it. It just really helps build a sense of, you know, honesty and commitment. It shows that kind of commitment to your employees. And a friend of mine who I've known forever that was basically part of, you know, he'd been with Ganassi for years, and I said, oh, they drew you back in. He said, yeah. He goes, they made me an offer I couldn't refuse. Yeah. And he said, it was just, you know, Justin just told me he wanted me to be part of this new thing. And
yeah,
I really couldn't say no. And so, you know, from that standpoint, I think that that's, you know, the attraction is having somebody who's straightforward, no bullshit, and you know, basically keeps everything on the up and up. And that way, all anybody has to worry about is doing their job, showing up, do your job, and, you know, let the dominoes fall where they may. But I mean, these people, they're not worried about what's going on as far as, you know, job security or, you know, backstabbing or any kind of that. There's a culture that's going on there that is so positive. And, you know, it's just really, it's something that they can take it and just make flourish. And I think when you look at it, and somebody, and I'm not sure who handles the social media account at Colleague, but, you know, somebody put some snarky remark out about, you know, that was their driver's win, and it got taken away from them. And I mean, we all know that that's not what happened and happens right. in racing. And I've been very complimentary to the colleague, you know, mentality as well, because I think that he brought a whole different type of philosophy into racing, because he comes from a stick and ball background. He was a high school football captain. He was a college football captain. You know, he's very athletic and very goal driven. And you got, you know, when you hear him do his Leaf Guard commercials, you get that sense. The guy's extremely competent, and he breeds confidence among his, you know, race team and the drivers in his race team. And you see it with AJ. I mean, it's like night and day. When he gets down, Chris Rice pulls him back up. And, you know, it's a whole different culture over there. It's a very different culture than what, you know, we see at other race teams. But now Justin has come in with a, you know, an even different culture, where it's a feel-good culture, you know, and it's one built on trust. And you're seeing Ross flourish, you're seeing Suarez flourish, you're seeing the other people in that organization flourish, and I'm really excited to see what's to come of Justin's you know, Trackhouse properties.
Would you say that Trackhouse Racing and Justin Marks and his team, it is the biggest story of the year so far in Cup racing? The success they've had so far up to this point, the podium finishes that Ross has had. Do you think the Trackhouse Racing brand is the biggest story in Cup right now?
I mean, honestly, Scott, I've been saying it the last 2 weeks, and I'll tell you why. You know, 2 weeks ago, they both finished in the top 10 at Phoenix. And, you know, you're thinking, wow, you know, that's pretty damn impressive. When you think a year ago, they were working off of one plate at RCR, right? They basically rented a space to work at RCR. They rented the people from RCR. They rented the pit crews from RCR. And, you know, they were just putting this thing together for Suarez and the 99 team.
Yeah.
Fast forward, you know, a year when they acquired the rights, or, you know, all the intellectual properties of Ganassi's Cup program. I mean, like 140 of their people, and they move into the shop over in Concord. And so, you know, okay, you've got two top tens at Phoenix. Well, you know, that's pretty damn sporty.
Yeah.
If you wanted to know whether or not that was a fluke, fast forward to 2 weeks ago, right? And then they both finish in the at Atlanta. Tough damn track. The new Atlanta, I mean, you watched it. It was absolutely crazy.
Yep.
Top five finish for both of them.
Yeah.
I mean, that you know, the top 10, if you thought that was a fluke, then the following week you have two top five finishes. I mean, that was nothing short of miraculous, if you ask me, for a startup team like them.
Yeah.
Ross Chastain had his fourth freaking podium
on my
Sunday.
Gosh.
I mean,
that's crazy.
Man,
it's crazy. That's crazy.
It's absolutely freaking nuts.
Yeah.
And you have to, you know, you have to say, wow, what a difference a year makes, and what a difference does it make having Justin Marks be the guy that, you know, calling the shots at you know, Trackhouse and, you know, making that work.
Do you think that road course is worthy of a second race? I do.
Well, but, you know, this is what NASCAR's really been trying to get away from, right? I mean, they just don't want... They don't want to have – they're trying to spread the love at different places throughout the country, and the only way that you can do that is to try to get everybody, you know, one or whatever races. And even the SMI guys, they know that. I mean, Texas has become a snoozer, so what they do, they took that date and they managed the date at COTA. I found it mind-blowing that before – you know, before the dust had even settled at COTA, when the track put out the release, you know, their track story or their gamer, for the race yesterday, I want to say in the first graph, maybe the second graph, they had, you can buy your tickets now for the 2023 COTA race. I mean, come on, man, who the hell does that?
Right.
Yeah. And so, You know, I don't know if they, but they, I think they knew that they, the excitement that they had, that the anticipation that they had, that they were able to pick that up real quick. And so they did. And, you know, they kind of built on that success. But I mean, I think it's clear that we're going to be going back to COTA next year, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And, you've got the bug, and you're like, yeah, let's go to COTA twice. I think what makes it unique and what makes people want to come back is the fact that you only go there once. I mean, if you oversaturate,
well, that's true.
I mean, think of all these tracks that have been oversaturated, and, you know, Bristol, spring race, night race. Well, you know, after a while, people stopped going to spring race because it didn't offer anything, so they had to turn it into dirt. You know, the Roval, Charlotte Motor Speedway, and, you know, I'm repeating myself, like you said.
That's all right.
I'm repeating myself from Saturday. My column last Monday was basically they had to do something different because nobody was showing up, even though the race was in the playoffs. Everybody goes to Coca-Cola 600, you know, and so that was kind of where we're at, is going ahead and doing it that way. And so, I don't know. I'm just kind of... I look at it from, you know, I think sometimes it's just better to be in a position where you make the most of what you got and don't oversaturate the market. Don't oversaturate things, that, you know, give people just a taste of it and leave them wanting more. In NASCAR, way too many times we've said, oh, you know, this is great. Let's buy a dozen of them.
Right,
and then
yeah.
It's like, then, it, you know, people want something new and fresh, but then after the you know, it starts getting a little tarnished, then they want something new and different. And you know, COTA, they found their new and different. I think it really kicks ass.
Once the new starts to wear off, that's when the luster starts to go away, right?
Right.
Yeah, no doubt. So Alex Bowman is the point leader right now over Ross Chastain. He's got a 3-point lead in the point standings right now. Is there any surprise by that? Are you surprised that Kyle Larson is sixth in the points right now?
He had such a rough day yesterday.
He did.
You know, he didn't have a great Atlanta. You know, he'll be back. I mean, it's, you know, this is just one of those deals. But I'm really happy for Bowman. I mean, like I said, I think he's a good guy. I can remember, you know, when he was with BK Racing, and you're like, gosh, you know, you were supposed to be this hot prospect from Toyota, and here you are, and, you know, doesn't this suck for you? But, you know, he kept digging and he kept working, and, I'm really impressed with what he's been able to do. And I think if you and Kurt and I have the conversation who the best of the best is at Hendrick Motorsports this coming Saturday, we'll have a whole different perspective.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to watch any dirt track racing this weekend?
I did. I watched the Paris race, wish I had watched more, but I mean, it was just, I'm telling you, after sitting on your butt all day Saturday, that was
right.
Really, Saturday and Sunday. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm tired from sitting so much.
Yeah.
This Formula One came on, and then right as Formula One was ending, the pre-race shows were starting for Cup, and so it was like, it was a long weekend of being on the couch.
You know, me personally, I watched a little of the Formula One. I love the broadcast. I love the way they do the broadcast. I just don't get blown away by the on-track action. I'm not going to lie. I just don't think there's
enough. And it's been sporty the last couple of weeks. I mean, sometimes it'll surprise you. I think, you know, I tune in just to see what kind of, you know, see if something out of the ordinary is going to happen,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
It's, sometimes you get lucky and you know, they have the couple of weeks. I mean, Lewis Hamilton and, you know, the Mercedes just haven't been there. And so, it's kind of it's almost like, you know, what's happened in NASCAR with the next gen car.
Yeah.
It's not your same cast of characters up at the front of the field. And
yeah.
It makes it interesting because I think the same old, we get tired of it after a while.
Hey, how about You watched David Gravel win over there at Paris. How about this kid, Corey Day, man? Is that kid talented?
He's really something, isn't he?
Oh, my gosh. He has got so much talent.
You know who I've been, and I said this to Reed probably three or four times. He's probably tired of me saying it. I want to know what's going on with Logan Shuart because he's not all there. Donnie, you know, didn't show up, and it's there might be a little changing of the guard over in World of Outlaws right now, too.
Oh, you
there's a whole lot of different people. I mean, we were kind of on top of this when, you know, you started hearing that the guys that had run midgets for so long were basically going where the money was, and they were going to go to World of Outlaws and All-Stars, and it's kind of trending in that direction.
I think you got to keep your eye because Corey Day finished second both nights, Bakersfield and Paris. I think you better keep your eye on this young kid. He's only 16 years old, right? I think he's going to make his way up through the ranks, probably end up in a truck somewhere down the road, I would think. Wouldn't you?
Is he a Toyota driver?
I'm not sure if he is or not, to be honest with you.
Hey, let's give a huge shout-out to Christopher Bell yesterday.
Oh, yeah,
because
for sure.
At one point, Christopher Bell was 38th on the racetrack, and had no fluid in his power steering, and went, I think he might have even gone down two laps. So to do what he did and come back with a third place finish yesterday, he never gave up. And, you know, honestly, he needed that because that
he really did. Yeah, no.
I have just felt for Christopher Bell because his luck has just been horrendous. And so I was really happy to see you know, see them get it together and make something happen because he really needed that yesterday.
Did you see where he picked up a Power Eye Midget win and a Winged Outlaw win at Port?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good to see him, you know, getting established with his own team because I think these kids benefit from having, you know, understanding a little bit more about the ownership side of it and then bringing in other kids, you know, to drive for them. I think it makes you know, going back to Bowman, and I know I'm starting to sound like fangirl, but I mean, he's done the same thing, you know, giving people opportunities and the equipment and you know, it's good to see these guys giving back.
You know what, just to go back a little bit on the cup thing, was it 2001 where we saw three different first time winners? Am I wrong on the year there, or what year was it? When we had three,
no, I'd have to pull up my. I'm in the car. I don't have my stuff in front of me, but
yeah, I
was asked that this morning. Do you think that this is a year where we're finally going to get 17 winners? And you know, it's still early to tell. And I, you know, I think that there are a lot of people who certainly can win with this new car and with these formats. But I would, you know, I'd love to see it just for the drama, right? I mean, I really dig the drama end of that. But, you know, we'll wait and see how it all transpires. But it would be cool if we did get 17 winners. And that way, every time somebody wins, it's instead of, hey, you're locked into the chase. Well, maybe not.
Yeah, right. You might not be in the chase by just getting a win. That would be kind of cool. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. Hey, I don't know if you had a chance to watch Aaron Reitzel win down at I-30. Did you see any of that race?
I did not see that.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a TRD driver. Now, what I'm wondering is he running, I don't know if
what
you...
What was he driving? What series?
He was running with the ASCS with the 360. He picks up the win on Saturday night down there. He's doing
I know that they're doing the 410... engines for Toyota, right?
Right, but and I think they're doing them with the 360s as well because I know that they had
I'll
some 360 motors.
That.
Yeah, I'd like to know if you can find out anything about Aaron Reitzel running 360s, TRD 360 motors. That's what I'd like to know. So,
I'll work on that.
Anyway, Chris Ferguson, he wins the late model race at Bristol. Did you get a chance to watch any of that? No.
I did not.
Yeah.
I did not.
You've been pretty busy this weekend. We got to give you a little bit of a break.
I have been busy. You know, just trying to go back and forth and getting the house established for the summer because it's going to be, you know, with the race coming to Gateway, it's going to be a busy, busy summer. And they have Tony's other, what is it? The SRX is going to Schrader's place at I-55, and then he's got his World of Outlaws at I-55, and then everything that's going to Tri-City. I've got so much racing around me, I don't know what to do with myself. Kind of getting everything ready and in place, so once it's here, then, you know, we can just hunker down and do the racing thing and not have to worry about the rest of it.
You know, it's like me. I can't ever get enough of racing. I've ran off every woman in my life because of racing, Lee, just so you know.
You need to find a woman that loves racing as much as you do.
You know what? I'm hopeful that Deidre is going to be the one.
I am too. I love her.
The only problem is when I'm down here and I'm watching all these races on all these TVs down here, what does she do? She stays upstairs and watches her shows because I dominate the TV when I'm upstairs.
Well, I mean, you can laugh at us because we are picking up another 65-inch TV today. That's where we're at. That's why.
Hey, Lee, can I give you a little advice? Go to Costco. And for the same amount of money that you can get a 65-inch TV, you can get an 82-inch TV.
I don't know where I would put an 82-inch TV.
Well, I got one right behind me, and I love it. That's all I can tell you. All right, Lee, what do you got coming up on Racing Boys?
Just kind of doing, you know, a review of what's going on, who might not be the next winner. And, you know, is the colic thing, was that a little bit of sour grapes yet last night? I mean, I haven't looked to see if they took the tweet down, but
they should have.
I doubt that they did because they feel pretty strongly. You know, they have a lot of conviction in what they put up. But, man, I thought that was kind of, you know, I didn't think there was a lot of sportsmanship there, but that's just me. And no, I don't think that, you know, if AJ hadn't had to go to the Infield Care Center, that he would have gone after Ross, because Ross is like twice his size and crazy enough to beat the shit out of him.
Right. Well, let me just say it again. He had it coming.
Well, you know, hit me first. What happens next? You know, you've already opened that door. That's kind of how I see it.
Yeah,
and
me too.
Some clown called up today on Sirius and said, oh, we're going to have a Dale Earnhardt situation on our hands. And it's like, come on. I mean,
get
we
real.
Don't even need to go there.
Yeah.
I mean,
no,
God
I'm,
almighty.
Yeah, just let it rest, right?
No kidding.
And I'm sure they'll talk to each other before next week, wouldn't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
For sure.
I mean, because they're friends, right? And even Alex, after, you know, as disappointed as he was, he goes, you know, Ross is my friend. I'm happy to see him win. But, man, he can, you know, he races like a wild man sometimes. But I think he tempers it. I mean, I don't think he's as off the chain as he used to be. I know he cost AJ a win one time when they were teammates at college, but I think this is a whole different animal. And, you know, AJ goes in there, he's got absolutely nothing to lose, right?
Yeah,
because
for sure.
It's just one of those situations where, you know, he's not there for points. He's there for wins. He's there for trophies.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
You know, that's exactly what he was hunting for yesterday.
You know, that's what I like about Ross. He races 100%. He doesn't care if he makes any friends or not. And
no,
you know what? He's a little aggressive, and I like those kind of guys.
He's a lot aggressive.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
I mean, he's not taking prisoners. And I want my guy up on the wheel. And, you know, part of having this car and being able to knock it around with the composite flange fit bodies. I mean, we were talking about that after Atlanta, right?
Yep.
Some cars would not have come back from what they went through in Atlanta. And so, you know, when you see that, it's like, man, you know, these cars, they just really take a beating. But it also allows the drivers to be more aggressive. So you're seeing guys like Ross Chastain, Daniel Suarez. These guys are up on the wheel. Reddick is another one. And you got to drive these cars like that, and they do. And it makes it for exciting racing.
Yep.
I mean, the only racing all year long that I thought was, you know, even close to being a snoozer was Phoenix, and thank God Chase Briscoe saved us on the last lap, right?
Yep.
But I'm trying to be hopeful and optimistic for Richmond this weekend, but I think it's going to be another Phoenix. I just, you know, I haven't seen a good race at Richmond, and I can't tell you when, but yeah. I'm hoping that this new car is a salvo that we need for that track.
It might just be, Lee. Let's keep our fingers crossed. All right. Let's just keep our fingers crossed and hope it all works out this weekend at Richmond's. All right, Lee. Thanks so much for taking the time. We'll talk to you Saturday.
Take care, bud.
All right. There you have it. Lee Spencer joining us here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We will be back in a moment. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Rod End Supply is involved with a variety of motorsports as well as industrial applications with many different types of products. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively. Whether you're racing at the circle track or drag strip, rock climbing, or going off-road, Rod End Supply has an assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products to keep your equipment moving. Rod End Supply's experienced staff is ready and willing to help you with your needs. Their promise is to continue to provide a superior product with superior service so you can stay in front of the field no matter what it is. To learn more, go to rodendsupply.com.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from the Racing Boys studio here in Kansas City, Missouri. And joining us now on the show is the King of America winner down at Humboldt, Kansas, Jake O'Neill. Jake, how you doing, bud?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Not as good as you. You cashed in that $15,000 paycheck this last weekend. That was a pretty good feeling, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a heck of a weekend for us, for sure.
Yeah. Well, just talk about that race, man. You were pretty dominant there towards the end of the race, but Darren Fouque, he started giving you a little bit of a run there, but man, you were so good on those restarts. You were able to get a little distance between you and Sorensen and Fouque and any of the other guys who were Maris. So you were able to get away from those guys a little bit on those starts of those restarts late in the race.
Yeah, we, you know, the trick was just getting to the front fast. You know, I knew we had to get there quick because that track gets kind of dirty and it gets really hard to pass. So, especially with the holes that I had there through there, you know, it just had a little bit of character to it. So
yeah,
I tried to get up there as fast as I could. And then, you know, when you're the leader, you know, it's a big advantage for the restarts. You get a start when you want to and kind of always keep them guys guessing. And then plus it kind of had that character through the middle there. So if you missed it just right, you'd hit that hole and it kind of upset you on the restart and you lose some ground. So,
yeah.
You know, we just, it's kind of a catch 22. You get out there by yourself. You don't know where you need to be, at the top or the bottom or the middle, but, we just try to hold our line and you know, I try to hit my marks to be as smooth as possible.
Yeah, we're visiting with Jake O'Neill. He was the winner of the King of America race down at Humboldt Speedway this last weekend. Friday night, man, gosh, I just felt so bad for you guys because that track was so rugged and so rough. It was so cowboy up. But I got to give Johnny Allen and those guys credit down at Humboldt. For whatever it was on Friday night, it was half as bad or maybe less than that on Saturday night. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. It was 110% different. You know, it's just a character of Mother Nature. You know, you just, yeah. There's not much you could do. We got had a lot of weather there, and it was misting all day, and just everything kind of went wrong for the racetrack wise, you know, and it was really soft and deep, so there wasn't much they could have done. You know, got to give a big hand, props to Bob, Tim and Jimmy and those guys. They, one of my buddies, my sponsors, John First, found a blade for him, found a guy down the road and they borrowed a blade from him. And, you know, them guys from Mississippi Thunder, they went to work and bladed the whole track off and really got it to be a racetrack. You know, I mean, we were able to race on it and, you know, it had character to it, but, you know, if you don't like a little character, you might as well race asphalt.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. As a fan, me personally, I love it when it's rough. You know, we're up in the grandstands. it didn't bother me a bit bouncing
right,
through those holes.
Right,
it doesn't bother me a bit. I totally enjoy watching a cowboy up racetrack. That was your 21st USMTS win. You know, we talk about USMTS here a lot, and I know that you're a late model racer as well. How much technology is being brought over from the late model side of things over to the modified side of things? You know, I talk about the cost of these modifieds, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. It's
really turned into professional racing right now, right?
Modified absolutely,
racing.
Yeah.
Your thoughts about all that?
It's, you know, USMTS is definitely the top level. I mean, it's for modified racing, you know, that's the best of the best. Some guys, they're all really, really good drivers. They have good equipment and a lot of good people behind them. Maybe not quite to the engineer standpoint like the late models are. There's the late model world, that's a whole other world over there as far as the money that goes in that stuff and the technology. But, you know, it trickles down to the modified stuff, but I don't think we're quite there yet. But, you know, I'm about as dumb as it comes. So we're kind of old school. We just do what our butt feels and kind of just go throughout the night and make the best decisions we can. It's all a guessing game, you know. We just try to have the good equipment under us. You know, I'm still not quite one of them high-dollar teams. We're still pretty low budget, believe it or not. We're just we got old cars and old equipment, but, you know, we make do with what we got. And, you know, we've been pretty successful the last few years, and, you know, we're very blessed to be able to do it.
Yeah. I got to ask you, because you made the comment that had to push you across the scales. You said your motor blew up at the end of that race. I know you're waiting on your late model motors as well.
Yeah.
Bad timing on blowing up that other motor there, huh?
Yeah. I think I actually think we figured it out. It broke a distributor gear.
Oh, it did?
You know, I went across the checkered, and I was pretty excited to hit the chip, and – And when I hit the chip, it had a big old pop, and I guess it blew a blue flame out the headers and stuff, and come to find out, it stripped that distributor gear out, so it just lost all ignition and timing. So yeah. I think we're going to be okay as far as the motor goes, but you know, that thing's done paid for itself a few times over now. So,
well, that's the best case scenario, though, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I definitely don't want to rebuild the motor because it's got about 920 laps on it. So, you know, we got a little ways to go yet. But you know, they're a $20,000 motor, a heck of a lot cheaper than one of the late model motors, and they're about $45, $50 now. So,
right.
We're not quite there yet.
Right. Again, just the cost of the modifieds. You know, I raced back in the day. I raced for 35 years, and man, I remember when IMCA modifieds first come out. People had about $500 or $600 in them.
Right. Yep.
You know, that was
a long time ago. Huh?
that was 1979. Just so you know.
Yep. That's a minute ago then, for
that,
sure.
That was a couple years ago.
Yeah, I know they've come a long ways, and you know, it's kind of funny. The reason I'm in the cars I'm in, the LG 2x Owens, is because at the time he's the only one that sell me a car that wasn't a complete roller, because I didn't have the money to buy. At the time, they were $20,000 or $25,000 for a roller, and I was like, man, I don't have that kind of money. I could piece one together throughout the year, you know what I mean? But so I got a frame and put it together from there, and that's kind of how I've always done it. I've never bought a complete race ready car before, so I couldn't even tell you what they go for nowadays. You know, like I said, we just keep putting new parts on our old cars, but you know, they're definitely, like everything in this world, it's just getting more and more expensive.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So what are the plans for you this year, Jake? Are you gonna try to run for the USMTS points? Because there's a lot of money right now in modified racing. You think about the championship money, how much they're paying for each one of these events. Is this something that you think you might try to go for?
You know, unfortunately, we kind of already made our bed. We got to lie in it. We committed to this late model deal before I kind of knew what USMTS was going to do. And, you know, hats off to them guys. That's a heck of a purse they're putting out. Not only show to show, but that points deal is just incredible. You know, I think that's what the modified guys deserve to race for, really. I think it's about time, but still that's a lot to put out there for them guys. So, you know, hats off to Todd and them. And unfortunately, we won't be able to run all of it, but I definitely want to try to run as much as I can. But we're pretty committed to this late model deal. You know, I'm working for John Ware now, so it's kind of all up to him.
What are you going to do? What late model organization are you going to run with this year?
This year, we're just going to hit and miss just kind of anything and everything. Like I said, it's so hard to get parts, motors, and cars and pieces, and we're just trying to get all those pieces of the puzzle put together so we can go racing. So once we get everything, we'll be able to go racing. But, you know, we're just going to kind of hit and miss the big shows and stuff around home pretty much in Tennessee. So.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy what we're seeing with the World of Outlaw late models and the kind of money they're starting to throw around now, and the Lucas Oil late model series. And if you miss one of their events, you're out of the chase for the championship over there.
Yep.
There's kind of a little war going on between those two right now, isn't there?
Yep, absolutely. And it's good. You know, it's good that money's finally getting up to everywhere. You know, I feel like, especially late model racing, they've been racing for the same money for the last 15, 20 years. And, it's about time it starts paying more because the cost of everything's tripled. So, you know, it's good for everybody because, you know, it gets more fans in the stands and it gets, more, the racers more aggressive and racy, and you know, I think it's good for everybody.
Yeah, it's going to be tough on touring racers this year with the price of fuel, and not only that, the price of fuel, but I don't know if you buy motel rooms or if everybody stays in your toter or not, but the cost of motel rooms right now is through the roof, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yep. That's what makes it effective for us to have a hauler. You know, I actually, being from Arizona, we're so far from home that, you know, we normally live out of our hauler whenever we leave to go racing in February or whatever it is. And until we live in it until we get home in November. So, you know, there's no way we'd be able to afford hotel rooms. So, you know, that's where those haulers come in handy. They're expensive too, but, kind of same thing. It's like buying a house. It's all, you know, money invested in it. You just sell it when you're done.
Yeah. Well, Jake, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports, man. Congratulations on the $15,000 win down there at Humboldt.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
We'll be looking for you to pick up a win with the late model, and if you do, we'd like to have you back on the show to talk about it. Would that be okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me, and I'd like to give a thank you to my sponsors.
Sure.
If that's all right.
Yeah.
I like Red Eye Radiator, Rancho Milagro, Eagle Moon Farms, Missouri Valley Transportation, Old World Meats, Signature Development, Stay Smokies, LG2 by Jimmy Owens, Midwest Sheet Metal, McCartney Welding, Go Lithium Batteries, Fast Shafts, First Construction, VP Heartland, Element 7 Graphics, GAT Racing, Buddha Transmissions, Cornet Engines, Bulletproof Tees, United Safe Services, Pro System Brakes, and TDS Suspension. Just to everybody, my crew, everybody that helps me out, and, you know, I appreciate you guys having us on, and look forward to hearing from you.
How many people do you travel with up and down the road, Jake?
Usually I got two crew guys and my fiance and my baby.
Oh, wow. So it's a family affair. Yep. That's great.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. You got to keep it in the family, you know?
Yep. All right. Again, congratulations, Jake. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. There you have it. Jake O'Neill picking up the win down at Humboldt, the King of America win. Man, that was a pretty big win. $15,000? Anybody would love winning $15,000.
Like you said, he's just a...
I think the most I ever won was $1,500.
Man, that's a lot of money. Even if you prorate that back to when you were racing, that's still way over $1,500. I mean, you'd have to probably like winning an $8,000 race back in your day.
Not really. No, it was still $1,500.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying.
No, I know money what you're wise, saying.
Yeah.
Right?
Like,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
If you won that race, if you would have even won it back then, it would still would have been. That'd have been a big, huge number for you, man. So yeah,
no doubt.
Now, like you said, I loved his line there. He was pretty funny there when he was talking about just a good old boy and
dumb,
driving by the Cedars. But he said something about being dumb and something. And I thought that was funny. Yeah, he's dumb, all right. But he's cashing a big check, man. That's a good deal.
Well, we'll get him on again if he picks up a late model win this summer, and I'm sure he will at some point. All right, well, there you have it, folks. Another edition of Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works, and we'll do it all over again tomorrow. Austin, not here today. I think he picked up Todd's bug. You think he got it, Todd?
I hope he didn't.
I hope he's not sick for 2 weeks.
Goodness gracious.
That would be a bad deal.
My wife's on antibiotics now. She's got a sinus infection now. And my wife doesn't go on antibiotics.
She doesn't get sick hardly at all, does she?
She's the doctor. She's a nurse. You know, she doesn't.
Right. She takes all the precautions.
And she's lived in a hospital her whole life. Her immune system is to the top. So, I mean, you know, I seriously, this was a rough one. So, yeah, let's just hope when I got the call this morning at 6:15, I knew something, he wasn't feeling well, because Austin don't wake up at 6:15.
Right.
He's a teenager.
He's 18.
He ain't gonna wake up.
No, you know what? He probably, does, because he goes to school.
Oh, that's probably true.
He goes to school every
day. That's right. I forgot he had school.
He forgot he goes to school till about 10:30.
That's right.
He's a 12th grader. Believe that? He's only in 12th grade.
2 years older than my son.
Yeah, it's crazy. He does a good job.
He does a
real
good job.
Yep, he's doing
good. Like I said, I appreciate everything.
All right, bud. For sure.
Anytime you guys need me, phone call away.
We might need you tomorrow. You never know.
Right. Rock and roll.
All right, thank you, Todd. Appreciate it. I want to thank my partner for Kirk Elliott for coming in. Todd Surprise for helping out today with the show. We'll do it all over again tomorrow, 12 noon Central Time. Ryan Ragland's going to check in. He's going to talk a little bit about the King of America race that we had yesterday. And I'm not sure who the other guests will be, but tune in. It'll be good right here on Mostly Motorsports, live from the Racing Boys studio. For Kirk Elliott, for Todd Surprise, I'm Scott Traylor. We'll see you tomorrow at 12 noon Central Time. See you then.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.